Jim Burley is a poet and a blogger and a connector with the whole world of blog poetry, which is, I must say, Jim, unbelievably full, busy, active, funny. How many of you are there out there?
On some blog rolls, and that's like a big list of blog links, it can be up to 100 people, and they're all over the world. So it, at least in my circle, and it's a vicious circle, in the sense of, you know, Wolf and them, I think it's a very big circle, and it's growing every day. I think people are jumping on things like Blogger to try to, because the technology is so easy to manipulate, that there's almost every day, or at least a couple times a week, you hear about new weblogs.
As you know, I'm interested in the poetry, but I'm really even more interested in the blog space. In the millions of years of poetry, how does blog space make this craft art world different?
Well, it's interesting. I think it started off, there was one main weblogger whose name was Ron Silliman, who started a weblog, and it was to use it once a day to post long essays that were about things that could show up in any magazine. You know, right now he's talking about Robert Lowell, and because Robert Lowell is very much out there with his new collected poems. Yes, he is back. He'd be glad to know that he's back, I think. So what Ron would do was once a day he would post this very long and very well written essay and used the space that way, and off of that came any number of transmutations of people in some ways reacting to what Ron was doing, or in some ways saying, well, this is who I am, and you know, so you have almost very short, people are doing like just one line blogs that are saying what are happening on other people's spaces. People are posting their own poems,
different things yourself, and they fascinate me. You tell jokes, you ask people to complete poems, continue poems, you try out lines, you do short, you do long. Describe that world.
I'm interested in the technology more than anything else, too, because there are so many ways of using this, especially when you have a captive audience that can tune in almost any time they want. And you say, well, what do I want from these people? You know, we're constructing an exquisite corpse right now. And I say, well, send in a line, react to what's happening right now. And as soon as I get it, I can put it up. And it's everywhere all of a sudden. You know, I'm using Oddblog technology where I'm allowing people to post their poems in voice on my you know, using I'm not sure if it's MP3 or whatever the sound file is, so that they can listen to it from RealPlay or from one of those places, and so instantly you're able to dial up someone's voice reading their own work, and if when they send me the work, I can post that underneath it too. So all of a sudden you have this ability to just in a moment say, well, what's happening over at Jim's blog space, and any number of things could be happening, whether it's silly or whether it's something that's like, wow, I can speak here, I can you know, or I can hear someone.
What difference does interactivity make?
I think because, and some people are less interested in, I mean, blog space can often be, well, this is what I have to say, and here I am saying it. But because the technology is available to either talk back in some ways, that I'm really interested to see who's out there and what they're doing, because that, especially in an art like poetry, is everything. That you're bouncing off of other people's work and that you're responding to what other people are doing, I think is most key to what I'm up to.
But here's my question, and it's about blog world in general. Where are we? What's going on here? And in your case, is this a poetry workshop? Is this a class? Is it school? Is it amateurs? Is it really talented and promising? Is it something that the poetry world better learn about and know? Or is it fun? Is it goofing off? Is it... Sometimes your blog reminds me of the sort of the back of the class in junior high school. This is where the cool, expressive, slightly vulgar, funny, interesting, maybe dangerous dudes are hanging out and having a riotous lot of their own world. But what does it really have to do with poetry, do you think, in the long run?
I think it's a combination of all those things. I mean, I think, and it depends, almost the tone is set whenever you decide to go to someone else's weblog and you say, well, here is where I'm going to get this sort of thing, or here, if I go to Jim, I'm going to get sort of snide and funny, or at times I try to mix it up as best I can. I'll post a poem, or I'll post a quote of a poem, or I can switch back and forth.
You had a joke the other day that I loved it. a guy on a motorcycle riding through Harvard Square with a T-shirt on the back. It said, "If you can read this, the bitch fell off."
Well, I think sometimes, and at this moment, that silly sometimes can overwhelm serious on weblog space, and that's because of the people who are reading them, I think there's almost a generation of people who are at work who have Hotmail and you know, right running right underneath whatever they're doing, so that they're always being plugged into distraction in some way. So they, even while they're at work, they'll say, well, I'm plugged into these other things that I know are going on weblogs or on websites because I'm doing seven things at once.
This is a very interesting point about Blog World in general. It's full of quick hits. It's full of quotation as opposed to sort of reflective writing. There's a lot of copying and, you know, bang right in your chops. Hey, get it? Goodbye. Try again. But that isn't... Or explain to me how that connects with Poetry World. One thinks of Poetry World as a different reflective space where one is looking to share Keats's transformation or to feel it, to discover another mood and metaphor, but to enter a different world slowly and with some lingering impact.
Sure, but I think the internet is changing what poetry is as well.
Really?
I mean, one of the big things that's happened, at least in this...
Listen up, Shakespeare.
Well, I mean, one of the big things that's happened is something called Flarf. And what Flarf is people using Google and using search engines to create random cut-ups of ideas. And so you're able to plug in bunny basement wine. And by plugging that into Google, you've created a poem by cutting and pasting all of these things that come up as these words intersect.
This is sampling, so to speak. This is
yes,
DJ Spooky.
Often it can be very interesting, and sometimes it's not so interesting. It depends on what level of how do you refine that. And some people say, well, Flarf should just be unrefined and messy, and that's what's great about it. Other people say, well, I can use this in my real work, and say, well, because of the internet, I've made this connection that I wouldn't be able to make. There's cut-ups in the a la Ted Berrigan, where you used to cut up a newspaper article and a Time magazine article and a, you know, whatever, and put it in a hat and draw lines out with other lines and say, well, that was a way of creating random text in a way that it wouldn't occur to us, you know, Burroughs and stuff like that. We're able to do that online in seconds now. And what does that mean when you're able to take a large amount of text and mix it up very quickly and then put it out? But this goes back to blogging, and it's, you know, by using this technology and the ways that we're having new conversations with one another, and in a way that we're publishing work immediately, as opposed to waiting for it to be in a magazine or waiting for it to be even online magazines. And I run an online magazine, and it still takes a couple months for me to format everything and get it all ready. With blogging technology and with team blogs, stuff's up that day, and people are reacting to it that day and writing something right afterwards.
Is that a good thing?
I think it can be a good thing. I think it's, like anything, at times it's going to be, well, this is silly, this is dumb, you know, why is this here? And at other times you can say, wow, this is very interesting that we're having this conversation that we, on the one hand, that having a conversation that could be silly. On the other hand, no, there's something here. And what is here? And what's good to take from this and to use in this craft that has, as you say, you know, up till about 25 years ago, the craft was sitting at a typewriter and typing alone in a room.
Let's talk about it in terms of those differences. When you write, if you were assembling a book to take to Mr. Farrar, Straus, and Giroux, and to put on the shelf there with Seamus Heaney or Robert Pinsky, how would those poems be different from the kinds of things you're working out every day on the fly on your blog?
Well, the one thing I would question, too, is what's the future of that type of publishing that you're talking about when we have the ability to do any number of things and will in 5 or 10 years be able to, whether it's Lightning Press or whether it's, who knows what a poetic career will look like, as opposed to, you know, we were talking about the Collected Lowell, which is this giant, massive, wrist-breaking endeavor to carry around and say, well, here, this is this collected thing, it's wonderful, but it's huge. In what ways will that look different 10 years from now than 5 years from now? How will a poetic career look? Or, you know, again, levels of refinement in terms of poetry, everyone's going to have a different answer to that. And some people are going to want their work to be clunky or strange or sound odd. And so you're working with sound in a way, you mentioned DJ Spooky, or you could go to any number of different people. Moby might try to make things sound more clean or more poppy. But other people might try to make dissonance and might try to make sounds that aren't, that don't go and fit so well together, to say, well, what about this is a new sound. Well, how do you feel about this sound?
Okay.
And can that be poppy in a way that, you know, if you look at the pop charts 20 years ago and what's poppy today, it's a very different variety of sounds and ways that people do sound to one another. And so how can that be, how can we institute some level of static in what we're doing to make pleasing sounds to one another?
But I want you to give an example of the kinds of things you're talking about. What's what's the best poem you ever discovered on the web and said, holy moly, that's a beautiful poem? What's the worst? What's the average? What's the challenge every day?
One of the interesting things is that people have their own weblogs for prose and for thoughts, and then they have poetry weblogs where they're actually saying, well, here's a project that I'm working on. One of those people is named Jordan Davis, and he has a project called Million Poems, where he's literally trying to write a million poems in his lifetime or something. I'd have to ask Jordan more about that. But it's he's able to list in very orderly way, 655, 654, and these are all just what's occurring to him, and along, I mean, you go all the way down to one on his blog. Mm. And this is part of FLARF, too. I mean, I think there's FLARF involved in this, for example. I'll just read a little bit and then give you some other examples. This one's called Middle Street. It was posted yesterday, and then here we are. Anguish as one listens more slowly contracts. Tragic glee, and then it says in parentheses, Edwin Denby, people quoting one another. The purest notes happen in 20 minutes, brutal as a small jazz. The diamonds in the guest room catch drops from the ceiling, finite as stairs. You throw a sheet over the bed, over and over, and over the oval mirror was once a mermaid clock. You're the one who stands there naked. And there's any number, there's literally, they're all about that length. And I think what he says, the purest notes happen in 20 minutes, is very interesting. I mean, in terms of this conversation, I just happened to pick that up because it was there listed as the top of the weblog. But there is something about that immediate publication that you can either get reaction from people or that in your own heart, you know it's already out there. Mm. There's another, Casey Mohammed has a weblog called squirrelsinmyattic, .blogspot.com. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is from a FLARF project called My Angie Dickinson, in which a poet named Michael McGee is working to sort of integrate some Emily Dickinson sounds and syntax into FLARF in some way. This is, again, another long project that maybe wouldn't happen unless it was happening on a blog. This is number 87. This is just at the top. To Die For. An idea is rather Vegas to flee. Let's not devolve into conjecture. See change on me. The president hasn't entered the image. Achilles assumed when hid, himself among women puzzling questions. An old yearning with his dad. John Bon Jovi is classic deadbeat showing up occasionally in order to beat up his mother. Version to fully. And you can see he's using the sort of dashes, for example, of Emily Dickinson, and somehow using Angie Dickinson in this sort of smirky way as this muse for the long piece. For example, another, as I did mention, Casey Mohammed has these people are all over the country. Jordan Davis is in New York, and Mike McGee is in Providence. Casey Mohammed is in Santa Clara, California, but also part of this project. Let me see here. Here's a good one. He has a poem called We. It's just two lines. We, as if you're on a roller coaster. I'm writing these poems really, really fast. but the ability, obviously he's kidding, but the ability to have that be out there as soon as you click a button. Mm-hmm. And to have it, I don't know, my weblog gets about 200, 300 hits a day or something like that from people who knows where they are. And to know that and to say, well, I want to type this up, but I also want to sort of present it in some way, but I also know that I could edit it later, you know, if I got some good feedback from people, or I could take it down, or if I'm at a party and I want to impress, you know, some young lady, I could say, oh, well, I'll show you this poem that I wrote. I just put it on my weblog today. All of those things, which are different than the carbon copying and the mimeograph machines and the sort of things that, you know, people like people that we all admire, these young poets in their 20s and 30s admired, you know, Frank O'Hara and you know, New York School and those people who literally would hand things out to each other on the street and have 20 copies. This is everywhere, and who knows who's reading.
I was just going to ask you, Jim, who are the heroes of blog poetry world? Who are the poetic models and heroes, contemporary or, you know, eternal? And who's not out there?
Well, that's a really good question. I think that it depends on who you're asking. And I'm sure some people, Ron Silliman is a language poet, you know, sort of associated with the Language School of Poetry, Language Magazine, very experimental, and it had its base for a long time out of the Buffalo, State University of New York at Buffalo, with people like Charles Bernstein and Creeley. So that's sort of the angle that I come from, and most of the people that I'm bouncing off of are more experimental poets. But for example, Ron Silliman was talking about Robert Lowell, and that started a conversation on another website about Berryman. These poets that we associate that with academics, but with a different tangent of poetry. So it's difficult to say. I think Rod McEwen has a weblog, for example. I mean, for a very, you know, far afield poet who's very popular. Mm-hmm. I think it depends who you're asking, because the proliferation is such that there's weblogs everywhere, and that when you use things like Google to look people up, weblogs are almost the first to top three things on everything that you could look up. I had somebody looking for the lyrics to a song by that Russian band Tattoo, those two young women who were sort of out there and writing pop music, and they would type a line of their lyrics in, and they would somehow get my weblog because I'd used six of the lyrics in different, you know, lines in different places. And so Google at some point or Yahoo is going to have to say, well, we have to give less of credit to weblogs than we do to everything else, because, you know, the first 25 answers to everything and, you know, in about a year and a half on Google will be, you know, your weblog and my weblog and everybody's weblog.
It had to be news in the blog poetry world when Seamus Heaney sort of put the blessing on Eminem.
It was big news. It actually,
what did that mean?
I think people were startled a little bit, but the thing is, and that started a larger conversation about, well, how do we feel about Eminem? Well, how do we feel about Seamus Heaney? Well, how do we, you know? And it's that sort of echo chambers, as somebody had put it, that it begins. And actually, somebody had this great diagram of how blog conversations begin, and it's interesting that we all have microphones, and to a certain extent, we're all making speeches, but in some way, we're all talking to one another. You know, say, well, I heard what Jim said this morning, and I totally disagree, or I agree, or I think this is terrific. It's these sort of ripples that get sent out when anything sort of comes up in these blog worlds that, you know, one person will mention it, and then everyone will get a chance to sort of chime in. And then that goes back and forth in these interesting ways that...
Let me ask you another thing that bears on the technology. One of the promises of blog world, or the way it's organized, is that good opinion... I suppose good poetry, good music rises to the top, that a variety of people mention and recommend things in a fashion that the best idea, it's not, you know, 100 million voices,
right,
all, you know, just bleeping. It's there's a selection. Does that work in poetry world?
I think so, and I think when people are reacting to something, sometimes it might be just with ire, or it might just be like our ability to get angry about things is probably better on blog space, because this is a pain in my butt, and let me tell you about it. That might be a strong reaction that people have, but also when somebody's doing something very interesting, a lot people do notice, and people do want to say, "Hey, check this out," or "I read this book." And some books have gotten second lives in certain ways on that you wouldn't normally expect, because books are, you know, oh, I got a pile of books downstairs in the basement. You know, they're not necessarily, you know, in front of everybody at all times. But someone will say, oh, check out this book. And then that ripples in the same way that any kind of comment might ripple. Or or check this out, you know, and that's one of the great things we can say on the internet, check this out, and you click right on it, Amen. And you go right to it.
Last question for me, Jim, unless you've got answers to which I haven't asked the question. Is this the future? Is this going to grow? Is this a movement? Is it a community? Does it work?
I think we're figuring that out. And I think weblogs may be a hula hoop, or it may be a fad. But I think the things that we're creating now, and the ability that we, the level of communication isn't going to stop. I think the level of communication between poets or between accountants or anybody is going to continue at a high level, because we're getting used to these conversations and we're reliant on them. We're desperate for these conversations. But what this technology will mean, I don't think anybody knows. And I don't think anybody knows what the future of poetry is either. But it's like we're using these new tools that we never had before. You know, with glee, with we're voracious for them, and we need more.
Last question. The technology, of course, is global. We're as close to Borneo as we are to South Boston. Does it work that way among poets? Are you making connections across color lines, poverty lines, you know, friend and enemy lines out there in the English-speaking world?
I think we're colliding. I think it's you know, I get hits from Japan and from New Zealand and from places where they don't speak English, and so for whatever reason, when you know because we're not just putting information out there in a way that it can be easily gotten, but because we're referencing and cross-referencing each other, that all of these conversations are happening from computers and places that we would never expect.
Jim, here's a last question. Is there room in blog poetry space for an editor? Is there room for a critic? Or is everybody out there basically, you know, acting out with this perfect democratic freedom?
I think almost every reader and almost anybody who has a blog is doing both. You're going to take the work that you want and you're going to ignore the rest. Or you're going to give people feedback in a way that there's some blogs that you're able to give feedback right away and sometimes anonymously. And that feedback might not be so sweet. And that's an internet thing. I think we are trying to figure out what these things can do, and a lot of it's still, you know, me in my heart might post something at 10:30 at night and then at 9 in the morning take it down, and that happens a lot, and that happens, it could be 10:30 at night and then turn 10:31 at night. But the ability to go back and change almost anything that I've done or I've written, and or, you know, you say you have a poetic fight with somebody and then you say, well, I don't want this for all eternity. I don't want this to, you know, you type up my name and you type up, you know, someone else's name. And it's like this brutal fight that we had. You can just go back and say, I don't want to preserve this. I want this to be gone. And it's gone. Or I can go back and say, I shouldn't have used tulip there. I should have used orchid, and go back and change it.
Has anybody ever instructed you, coached you, corrected you, extended you, improved you?
I think the internet is a nonstop, whether it's being scolded or whether it's being taught or whether it's being like, here's my advice. Or I think that happens every day. And somebody saying, well, this is great, but what the hell is this? Or you know, those kind of choices are the kinds of choices that we're making every day. And that kind of interaction I find incredible.
Jim Burley, thank you for a short tour of the Poet's Corner of Blog World. Jim's blog address is Jim's Monkey, no apostrophe, .blogspot.com.
Chris, thanks.